Sorry, it took some time to get ready. Hello, everybody. My name is Izumi Okutani, and I work for JPNIC, which is the National Internet Registry in Japan. In this presentation, I would like to introduce the results of the surveys we made over the change of IPv6 assignment size, which was proposed at the last meeting by Jeff. So just to explain the background a little bit, in the last meeting in APNIC 20, I remember we note that Jeff Houston made a proposal to, not exactly to change, but add a new assignment size of /56 in addition to the current /48. And for this particular idea, there was a strong concern expressed by one of the members in Japan, and we wanted to find out if it was just this particular member which was really concerned about this change, or you know, it reflects the concerns of the community in general. So we decided to conduct a survey. And the objective is from two points. Firstly, to see how this policy change would impact LIRs from the perspective of services they're providing, their network, and the impact to their customers, and also if it would, you know, lead to any additional expenses. And the second point is that we understand that there has been like three variations of the similar proposal. One is what's been proposed in APNIC 20, and another one is being proposed in RIPE, which is a little bit different version from the APNIC 1, and also in ARIN. So we wanted to know if out of these three proposals, a particular proposal would make it more agreeable to the LIRs or in Japan or not, or they just don't like the idea in general. So what we did was that we have 64 LIRs who are currently receiving IPv6 assignment in Japan. So we sent an email questionnaire to these people. We got responses from 36 LIRs, so it's about a little over 50% responses. And the services they're providing is that a little over 70%, the majority of the LIRs are currently still providing the testing service, and the rest, a little less than 30% of the LIRs have started the commercial service. And the method is that we basically sent an email questionnaire on these four areas that I've just explained earlier, which is services, network, customer, and cost. And we asked questions how this policy change would have an impact on these four areas for each of the three cases. Case one is the case which was introduced, proposed in APNIC 20. So this is simply adding /56 as an additional assignment size to /48. And this would be this is intended to be used for SOHO or home users. The second case is what was proposed in RIPE 50 and 51, I believe. And the difference between the APNIC one and this one is that an LIR can decide whether to assign a /56 or 48 or 56, depending on their needs. So it's more flexible than the one that was proposed in APNIC 20. And case three is that I don't think it's formally been proposed in ARIN, but there was a talk about removing the fixed boundary. So instead of, you know, fixing boundaries to either 56 or 48, let's just, you know, do it like IPv4. So it can be anywhere within the boundary. For example, it can be like a /68, /39, or whatever size that LIR think is appropriate to fit the size of the network. So these, we try to see the impact on each of the three cases. And the result is first, the impact on the service. We found that regardless of which case it was, the majority of the people felt that there's no impact on their service they're providing. So over 80% of the people replied no impact. And the reasons that they felt there was no impact was because most of them haven't started the commercial service. And we were expecting maybe, you know, they might give the reason it would have more flexibility in size for cases in 2 and 3. But as when we actually see the results, not that many people see this as the reason. And for those people who have actually replied that there will be impact on the service, they have to change the target of their service if this policy would be implemented. For example, when I think at the moment they don't really differentiate between like SOHO and corporate services, but they might have to, you know, start splitting the target or things like that. The impact on the network. Again, the majority of the people reply there's no impact on the network. And as the flexibility of the policy increases, the impact slightly decreases. And it seems that the more flexibility that there's given to the policy, the impact will shift from the customer network to the infrastructure. So they have to make more changes to the infrastructure rather than the customer, compared to case 3 compared to case 1. And the third, impact on existing customers. Again, there's hardly no impact on the existing customers. And as you can see, for case 3, there's hardly no impact because it gives a lot of flexibility. But this is the area that was the people expressed that there will be a substantial impact. This is the cost. Over 50% of the people reply that they would have to, you know, have additional cost to deal with this policy change. And although if you look at each of the three cases, case 3 would have the least impact out of the three, the impact is still almost 50%. Oh, right, okay. And so we looked further into it. And so what would specifically be the actual cost that will be incurred as a result of this policy change? And the majority of the people reply that it's about less than 1 million yen, which is, the majority of the people replied that it would be less than 500,000 yen or 0.3 man-month. But there were also a few LIRs about, it's maybe less than 10% of the LIRs replied that they have to pay more than 1 million Japanese yen to deal with this policy change, which is a very large amount. And we also received some comments regarding this policy change, which instead of just, you know, ticking the questions. And first is that there were generally very negative feelings towards removing fixed boundaries. So for case 3, quite a lot of LIR, not in numbers, but people expressed strong concerns over this. Not necessarily because of the direct costs that are incurred from this, but it would increase their fixed costs for their host master work or network maintenance because it would increase the complexity of their network. And some people also felt that there seems to be quite a few policy changes before, you know, the IPv6 is actually taking place. So it might give some impressions to users or people in the company that, you know, IPv6 is still an unstable technology and it might have some impact on the deployment. Another thing is that I think some people genuinely didn't understand why we still need to change this policy instead of the HD ratio change, which reached consensus in the last meeting. And I understand this is just a projection and not a prediction. But you know, people felt that if it would extend the life of IPv6 up to 600 years, why do we have to go through further changes of changing the assignment size as well? That was a question. And I also briefly introduced the situation in the ARIN community that there seems to have quite a substantial support for removing the fixed boundaries, and questions were asked over why there's a difference in the opinion in JP and ARIN, and whether the rest of the community outside Japan is aware of this kind of impact and situation in Japan and discussing these kind of changes. And if not, they wanted us to share this situation with the rest of the community. And then the third point is pretty much, maybe it's a lot to do with the nature of our nation, that we really to look into the details. But people felt that the details of the actual implementation was not so clear how it would affect the additional allocation, or how they should judge which size to assign. So some people felt that they can't judge if they support this proposal or not, because the details are not clear. So the overall observation on the result of the proposal is that generally there are no major notable impact on most of the areas, i.e. services, network, and to their customers, but there are a substantial impact on the cost to deal with this change, and not just in terms of the numbers, but two of the LIRs in Japan actually have to go through over $85,000 to deal with this change, so it really is not small. And also, in terms of the survey results, if we just look at the numbers, it seems that case 3 demonstrates the least impact. But in the comments section, people did express quite a strong concern. So our feeling is that case 2, if we are going to implement this policy at all in the future, case 2 would probably be most agreeable, but we still have to consider the impact it would have on the cost. So the general feeling in Japan over this proposal is that they're not necessarily against the changes if they can be convinced that it would be for the good of the internet, but the practical actual impact is very real to them, and how it would help to the internet in general seems really conceptual to them at the moment. So that's why they're not really convinced of the needs for this kind of policy change. But at the same time, so if they can be more convinced that this would be for the good of the internet, I don't think they would strongly be opposed to this policy change. And well, they feel that HD ratio change, which was passed in the last meeting, that could be acceptable, and maybe we can go through this change, but why do we really have to go further and make changes in the assignment size when there are these kind of impacts? Those were the questions that were raised. And since it did not reach consensus at the last APNIC meeting, we did not take a consensus vote. So it's just more of my personal impression rather than a formal representation of the comments in Japan. So the issues to be considered would be, so to what extent should we consider these kind of impact to the ISPs for changing the policy? And the second point is that JPNIC also understands that the intention of the policy, and we have to look in the long term for the good of the internet. So what would be a good balance between this long-term impact and the short-term impact that it might have on the ISPs? That's all from me. Thank you.
Thank you. It's me. Any comments or questions? I'm sure you have, Jeff.
Yeah. Jeff Houston, Apini. As one of the folk who authored, I think, that proposal at the start, I'd like to thank you first for conducting the survey, and the answer is indeed very interesting and useful. Mm. I think your final comments were actually precisely the point of the problem. What's the balance between the long-term view and the short-term issues? And the underlying thinking behind this particular proposal was actually concerned with how long should the industry view IPv6 as a sustainable solution? And in that time frame, how many things get made out of silicon that want to communicate? The other assumption inside V6 that actually wasn't stated up front in that policy proposal, but nevertheless is a fundamental piece of IPv6 assumption, there are no NATs. Mm-hmm. So every device, everything, every RFID, everything gets an address.
Yeah.
And when the original IPv6 addressing architecture was set up, and there were a number of iterations of it, the feeling inside the community at the time was, well, we'll do this for the first 1/8 of the address space, and if we're wrong, we'll just change it later. Mm-hmm. I think what we're finding as an industry is that that attitude doesn't work. And that we're finding, particularly with IPv4, that the early recipients of address space are certainly being examined in terms of one university, an entire /H, you know, what happened there and why should that persist? And we're finding that undoing those early decisions and changing things on the fly is remarkably hard.
Yeah.
So part of the intent of the proposal was indeed to err towards the long side view.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And if there was any kind of, well, you know, the HD ratio might not be enough, what do you do then? And how easy would it be to change? The comment that I made at the time, and I would make again, is once you get to deploying 50 billion, 100 billion devices on a network, and you get entrenched operations that are commodity-based, it's no longer high expertise, high touch, can you change anything? Mm-hmm. Have you then started on a track that you cannot deviate from due to its sheer size and inertia? So the question about the balance between long and short is just spot on.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a tough question to answer in any industry, and we're now being faced with it here. I had certainly erred on the view of long term. I have enormous hope in V6 that it encompasses an amazing world, much, much bigger than any of us could possibly imagine. And in that case, you need a lot more addresses than the existing addressing policy is going to give you.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, it's a good question. I'd like to highlight that in this discussion.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you very much for the explanation. And I think pretty much, you know, everybody in JPNIC understands your, you know, your idea and concept. So we probably have to go a little bit more into, you know, explaining the situation to our community. But at the same time, at this stage, the whole thing seems a bit conceptual to them. That's the current stage. We probably have to still, you know, coordinate between our community and AP as well. Thank you, Jeff.
Thank you.
Randy Bush, IJ. Sorry to continue the Jeff and Randy show. what we have here, interestingly, Jeff, is a very example of an installed base that's trying to having difficulty changing. Even at this stage, okay, that how much it will cost to change from the way we're doing it now to case one, case two, case three. Right? Is the core of, you know, how much will the cost be? How much effort? We already have the problem of the installed base trying to change. So maybe they could think that this is, you know, induce, that this is a problem we have at the baby step today, and if we don't make the changes now that we know how to make well, that the problem is going to be 1,000 times larger 3 years from now. You know, the whole problem is, when do we make the change? And changes that we know or that we are fairly confident are wise changes for the long term should be made as early as possible because of that greatly increasing cost.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point. But at the same time, I think maybe people feel that if this was proposed at the time of when the policy was first developed, then it would have been okay. But what are we going to do about those two companies that, you know, are facing these kind of loss? Are we going to just say, okay, you're just like two in the whole world, so just, you know, forget it and, you know,
will it get
bad.
Better to them for them when they, I shouldn't even use the third person, I believe I can say we in this case, have to make the much bigger change 3 years out? Those of us that lived through the cider change, where we paid late, where we paid this very change late, it was 100 times more difficult and expensive than if we'd done it 10 years earlier. So those two companies that have a significant cost today, if we are confident that the design change will eventually have to be made for a better internet, you know, they are trading one, well, whatever it is, 1,000 yen today for 1,000,000 yen tomorrow. And that's an American planning point of view, not a Japanese planning point of view.
Okay. Thank you, Randy.
Thank you. Any other comments or questions? No?
Jeff Houston, I'm actually now just a little bit confused about next steps, and I actually would like to understand, at least from this policy SIG's point of view, what the next step is. Mm-hmm. Right now, the proposal relating to N-site allocations is not a proposal anymore. It's gone away. It's not active. There is a proposal inside the RIPE community, as you pointed out, the variable size one with a better degree of detail as to how allocations are assessed, but there's nothing in APNIC. I'm quite happy to work with the ad hoc committee that I've been working with before as part of the IAB to resubmit a proposal more like the RIPE NCC one for consideration, but I don't want to waste this room's time if it's simply nothing's changed and it won't go anywhere. So if there is some interest in reconsidering this matter and you would like a policy proposal to focus your attention on what is possible here, I am more than happy, if you will, to take this advice and resubmit a proposal. But I would actually prefer some guidance from the SIG up front as to whether you really want to continue to consider this issue. So do you want to see this proposal more along the lines of a RIPE NCC model, where it's purely variable, resubmitted into the APNIC process or not? No, it's not a case of whether you eventually approve it or not, it's just, do you want to keep on discussing this? And that was Randy Bush actually volunteering some help, which would be gratefully accepted.
So Jeff, yes, sir, you can always submit your proposal at any time if you would like to, and there is another volunteer. But I'm not sure whether there is a need from other members or participants in the SIG. So I'd like to know whether you have the interest to see the proposal coming from coming again.
I would like to know the same answer, yes.
Okay. So is so I would like to see your hand if you have any interest to see the proposal to change the assignment size in IPv6 assignment sizes. If you have any interest, please raise your hand. Thank you.
I'll obviously take the chair's guidance here, but given that show of hands, I don't believe you're going to see this policy proposal.
Okay, yeah, yes, I know. I know that. But I just like to see the how many of you are for your intention. Kosuke-san.
Yes, Kosuke speaking. I guess many of us are really interested in this discussion, but it's pretty much long-term issue to be clarified how even we how it propose to on the stage, I guess, so that it's been a little too shortcut to say changing the assignment size is in favor or not. We totally never know how much impact it's going to be. So I guess if you call the hands, how many people are interested in this discussion, then many of them are raising hands. But I don't know how many people are in favor to change the assignment size. Then I myself is hardly raising my hands, I guess.
Yeah. Thanks for coming.
We have been here before. We will change the assignment size. Do you want to do it now while it's cheap? Or do you want to do later while it's 1,000 or 1,000,000 times more expensive?
I'm sorry if I was unclear. I was indeed asking for interest, not approval. But all I was, well, I thought I heard some confusion there about what you're asking for. It's not whether you're in favour of actually doing the change at this point, but it helps the discussion to have a proposal to talk about. And the question really was from me, do you wish in this SIG to continue to consider this? In which case, I'm happy to produce a policy proposal again that would help you discuss. But if there's no interest in even talking about it, then there's no point in producing a policy proposal at this point if you're not interested in discussing. So that's what I thought the show of hands was about. And if there was some confusion there, then I hope this has clarified it.
Yep.
Would you like to ask for another show of hands?
Yes.
Simply on interest.
Okay, right. Okay. Yes. Simply on interest. Do you like... would you like to continue discussion on this matter? Please raise your hand. Okay, thank you.
Good enough?
Yeah. Apparently we should continue this kind of discussion in future.
In that case, if with your approval, I will submit a policy proposal into that effect to assist with that then.
Yes, please, you do.
I can remember from JPNIC. Isn't it just conveyed the opinion from the JP community to the stage? That means that she is not the network operator, and she just representing the community. So I'd like to have that such kind of discussion from Japanese community. So I am now encouraging Japanese community to participate that discussion very eagerly, and then I think that's really, really significant for our community in Japan.
Thank you, Ma'am Rasan. Any other comment? Okay, so thank you, Izumi.
Thank you.